Imagine Your Mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
How are you, Natalie?
3, 2, 1. Happy New Year!
Yes, this is the first episode we are recording in 2024, though it will actually be the second episode posted in 2024.
Oh, shoot.
Because okay. the last episode recorded hasn't posted yet. Oh. And we're doing one tomorrow.
Wait, we're like way ahead.
We're going to be way ahead, yeah.
Oh, that's...
Because of my mom's coming to town and then I'm going to Sundance. It's a busy... January's a very busy month, right. So we're banking a few.
Okay. Hope nothing wild happens in the first few weeks of...
Like what?
I don't know.
Like, I don't know. I don't know what you mean. Like you and I split up or something?
No, I mean like some natural disaster or overthrow of the government or...
Yeah. Yeah, I guess let's hope those things don't happen.
There was an earthquake this morning.
I slept right through it.
Yeah.
As I almost always do.
Yeah.
One time an earthquake woke me up.
Yeah.
One time in all my... Now... Coming up on 19 years living in Southern California, only once have I been woken by an earthquake.
Yeah, I've
sleep through everything.
Tried to shake your whole body and you don't wake up.
I'm a deep sleeper.
Yeah.
But this is not a podcast about predicting future disasters the way that Quasimodo did.
Yes.
No, I know it's Nostradamus. That's a Sopranos reference.
Yeah.
Quasimodo predicted all this. And then he also, you didn't like that. It's Bobby Bacala had what do you call those? Malapropisms?
Yeah.
The one, you didn't care for this as much as I did because you didn't ever watch CSI. But when Jana says the modern issues is from the cemetery, and he goes, mud? Who are you, Marge Hidgenbrenner?
He also did something funny in that same episode when he was like ordering the pizza.
Oh, okay.
After Uncle Junior got released from prison.
Oh, he like gave a specific order and then goes, yeah, it's me.
Yeah, or yeah, it's us. Something else. Oh,
I thought you were going to say his, it's so sad that like he lost his wife and his kids lost their mother. But he's talking about how his kids are all freaked out that the mother's ghost is still around. And he tried to read to his daughter. She couldn't even handle a Nancy Drew. It was too mysterious.
Too mysterious.
Seriously, one of the funniest shows ever on TV.
Truly.
The Sopranos. But we're not here to talk about The Sopranos. We're here to talk about Friends and How I Met Your Mother. That's what we talk about on this show. We watch an episode of both shows each week and we keep track. We recap, compare, contrast, do all sorts of fun things. Right now, we are on to season 6, episode 15 of both shows. Season 6, episode 15 of Friends is called The One That Could Have Been, Part 1.
Mm-hmm.
And season 6, episode 15 of How I Met Your Mother is called Oh Honey. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna put a pin in honey.
Ouch!
Yeah, I was waiting. You used to do ouch, and I missed
only
it.
Only when it's relevant.
Yeah, this was relevant.
Yeah.
Because honey is a character.
Yeah.
And
remember when it was doppelgangers and I went, ouch, ouch.
You're the funniest person I know. You're funnier than Bobby Bacala.
Once in a while.
Yeah. So we're going to jump into season 6, episode 15 of Friends, The One That Could Have Been, Part 1. So Rachel comes into the perk. Everybody do a shot of espresso. And she announces that Barry, whom she left at the altar, and Mindy are getting divorced. Right?
Yeah.
You looked like I was getting something wrong.
No.
Okay.
You're right.
And then... The gang all go around saying like because Rachel's like, oh, what would my life have been like if I had married Barry?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone says, oh, and what my life would have been like if I hadn't blah blah blah. It's not my funniest moments, and I hope I'm not taking one from you. And Ross says, I wonder what my life would have been like if I hadn't gotten divorced. And Phoebe goes, Which time? And Ross goes, the first time. Like, doesn't even let her finish.
Yeah.
And he says he would still be taking karate. And they make fun of him for pronouncing it correctly.
Yeah.
This is, you and I have a difference of opinion on this. But, like, I know it's like considered douchey to say like Cuba instead of Cuba, but yeah. like that's how it's pronounced. That's yeah. the word. It's Cuba.
I know that, but like if someone said, like if a white person says karate, it just seems like they're trying too hard.
Okay. It seems respectful to me, but I guess, I don't know.
It's like how my dad used to order at like Japanese restaurants or Mexican Sapporo. Restaurants. Like he tries a little too hard to get the pronunciation, thereby kind of making himself into a little bit of like a foolish.
Yeah. But it's not like he's doing, like, Ross isn't, like, doing, he's not trying to, like, do a Japanese accent. It's he's not, just pronouncing the word correctly.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing, like, wrong with it, per se, but it's okay to, like, kind of make fun of them.
Do you say, and I know because it's come from the show before, do you say croissant or do you say croissant?
I say croissant.
I say croissant.
Yeah.
Because that's how it's pronounced.
There are some things you know? That I'm sure there are some, like, pronunciations that I get right.
Yeah.
And others that I don't.
Yeah, I'm sure there are ones I'm missing.
Yeah.
But like my other podcast is about movies. Mm-hmm. And my co-host has gotten annoyed with me for the... one of my favorite filmmakers of all time, who passed away a few years ago, is... Her last name is Varda. And her first name is Agnes.
Yeah.
But in English, it's spelled Agnes. Yeah. And Tyler sometimes gets annoyed with me for doing things like saying... Agnes Varda.
Do you say green beans or haricot?
I like to say haricot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you say aubergine or eggplant?
I say eggplant. Yeah, I should say aubergine. But the thing that the difference between you and me, the thing we argue over, is that people who are from the largest city in the state of Idaho pronounce it Boise.
Yes.
Like a. I don't know what you would call that, but not a Z sound, an S sound, Boise. And so I say that since I learned that. But your argument is that, like, everyone else in the country, like, everyone outside of Idaho, at least, says Boise with a Z.
Yeah.
And so did I guess I sound like a douche saying Boise?
I mean, I don't think you sound like a douche, okay. But it's, like, for you to say, like, that's correct. Like, it's only correct for the people who live there.
The difference, though, is when I first moved out here, and when you and I first started dating, I still, like a lot of people in the U.S., said Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah.
Like, I think most people, like, you know, from the Midwest to the East Coast say Nevada.
Yeah.
But Nevadans say Nevada. You taught me that, and now I say it correctly. I mean, Nevada.
There are a lot. There's Oregon, Oregon. There's Los Feliz, Los Feliz. There's...
Well, that's... Yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
I had another one.
Sorry, I interrupted you because I had a brilliant thought.
That's okay, go ahead.
Los Feliz, Los Feliz thing is interesting because it's like when you take a word that, like, Los Feliz would be the right way to pronounce those two words in Spanish. But the neighborhood is called Los Feliz because that's what the neighborhood is called. It's an Americanization because it's in America.
Yeah.
The biggest example of that is... We know the Cervantes book is called Don Quixote, but the word that is derived from Quixote is Quixotic, and you pronounce it Quixotic because it's an American English, or it's an English language word. It's not a word.
Quixotic.
But it's not right, because it's not a Spanish language word.
Yes.
It's an American word.
Yeah.
That's so it's, so
it's
for
like
me,
once removed, it's like twice removed. Yeah.
So I know that Los Feliz is the right way to say those two words, but I say Los Feliz because I'm referring to the neighborhood, not referring to
you
happiness.
You also say Ventura instead of Ventura.
No, you corrected me of that. Okay. I say Ventura now.
Okay.
But that's, we're so far off base, but I love this. You have given me that insight of how to correctly pronounce Ventura, California, or Ventura Boulevard, or Ventura County, has made me realize, like, it's like a detector for, like, if someone's new to Southern California, if they still say Ventura. Because I think most people, they see it, they think the word venture or adventure.
But it's spelled Ventura.
But venture is spelled Venture, right?
I guess.
Like adventure. You wouldn't say adventure.
I would. So let's go on an adventure.
I think most people who come here from elsewhere...
Yeah.
Start out saying Ventura
because
they're thinking of the word adventure or venture.
They also say Wilshire, Cahuanga, Tujunga. Like, there are a lot of things
Tujunga,
that, you know. Yeah. Sepulveda.
Sepulveda, La Cienega.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so yeah, friends and mothers, let us know your pronunciation quirks.
Yeah.
Like them, hate them, hashtag.
Love, yeah.
Prononcié.
And how would you spell?
That's up to the friends and mothers. Okay.
It should be pronunciate or pronunciate, like Boise and Boise.
Either one.
Yeah, there are a
no
lot of...
No one's hashtagging these dumb bullshit calls to action. No one cares. Hashtags. No.
There's a lot of Los Angeles streets that, like, are... Yeah, Cahuenga is one that, you know, you have to know how to say Cahuenga, because most people wouldn't look at those letters in that order and think Cahuenga.
Yeah.
It's like Chapultepec in New Orleans.
I was just thinking of Chapultepec.
Yeah. All right. I love this kind of talk and I could do it all day, but we have
what
to
get back to the Burgundy, episode. Burgundy?
Burgundy. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we can go on.
Yeah. Calgary, Calgary.
Yeah. Yes. Should we have like a linguistics podcast?
We should. We should just talk about like fun little differences.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in England.
Kinda linguistics.
Yeah. We'd be cunning linguists. Yeah. Yeah. You know, in England, they say maths.
Yeah.
Where we say math. But they say sport. Where we say sports.
Yes.
It's crazy. This is the English language. Fascinating thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Canadian cities, Torontonians don't pronounce the second T.
Toronto?
They just say Toronto.
Yeah.
It's also Montreal. Americans have a tendency to say Montreal, but it's Montreal, like munch. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I could do this all day. So, back to the episode. He correctly pronounces karate. They start talking about what could have been. That's the cold open. We, like clockwork, it's halfway through the season. We get new titles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's still them dancing in the fountain, but the clips they use are all from the first half, almost all from the first half of this season.
You're right,
you know? Which I miss. They always do something to time with the claps in the song. And I liked the old one that was Monica, like, slapping her belly for some reason. I don't know why she did it, but...
Yeah.
And now it's a new one. I think it's still Monica, but it's not that anymore. Okay, let's jump into this episode. I'll probably zoom through a lot of this. Because I didn't care much for it.
Me neither.
Yeah, Ross... So we're in, like, the Sideways universe or whatever. The Flash Sideways from Lost. Season 6 of Lost. Ross runs into Rachel. They haven't seen each other since 1987. At the Perk, Monica is dating a doctor, and it's Joe Mayo from Seinfeld.
Yes.
Joey is still on... I should say they have Courtney Cox in the fat suit.
Ugh, yeah.
The whole episode.
They sure do.
Okay. And Rachel has big hair. Right?
It's also like highlighted and has acrylics and bangles.
Yeah. Yeah. She looks very tacky.
Yeah.
Joey's still on Days of Our Lives and he's chilling in a leather coat. Chandler has quit his job to pursue being a comedy writer full time. He wears baseball tees and backwards baseball hats and he's sad because he got another rejection letter and Joey says, I can help you out with money, and Chandler doesn't want to take his money. So Joey says, I could use an assistant. Why don't I hire you? You can make money that way. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Phoebe comes in and she accepted a job at Merrill Lynch that we find out she got offered years ago. And so she comes in and she's a high powered, harried, businesswoman. She wears, suits and she smokes cigarettes and she yells on cellular phones.
And she has very just like straight, short, practical bob cut.
Which I kind of liked actually. It looked good on her.
She looked great. Yeah.
So Ross comes by with Rachel to say like, hey, like it's your old friend Monica or whatever. But then Rachel sees Joey, turns out she's a fan of Days of Our Lives. Cause I guess she's a typical bored housewife at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why? So she's a fan of Joey. Meanwhile, Phoebe has a heart attack. I jumped to the next scene because that's no longer at the Perk. That happens at what I guess is... it's Monica and Phoebe's apartment.
Monica and Phoebe's apartment, yeah.
Right, because that's what it was. Okay, so Monica and Phoebe's apartment. Phoebe has a heart attack. She doesn't die, but she has a heart attack. they go to the hospital. Meanwhile, in the hospital, Phoebe is giving Ross sex advice because Ross is still married to Carol, but they're not having any sex because Carol is a lesbian. Mm-hmm. And so Phoebe's like, here's some ways you can spice up your... I almost said sprouse up because I was looking at my notes at the fact that Cole Sprouse plays Ben.
You're right.
Anyway, you can spice up your sex life with a bunch of things. Meanwhile, Joey gives Rachel a tour of the Days of Our Lives set, and then turns out he's a bad boss to Chandler, and he yells at him and says, you gotta listen.
He's quite abusive.
Yeah. He's kind of like when Ross was the roommate. Like,
yeah.
Down. Take it down.
Yeah.
Doing a little... Yeah, anyway. Then Ross wants to talk to Carol. Meanwhile, Cole Sprouse is playing their son. This is the first time Cole Sprouse has appeared as Ben. I will admit that I looked it up and it's not the last time Cole Sprouse continues to play Ben. Anyway, so Ross starts throwing out a lot of the things that Phoebe said and, about like bondage or about like food play, which I'm not into, by the way, so everyone knows, keep those two things separate.
Yes. Like I'm George. Not like George.
Yeah.
Ham sandwich in the bedside drawer.
Yeah. It's pastrami, right? Because it's the most sensual of the salted cured meats.
Yes.
And then he tries to add watching TV.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, he's just under the covers watching a portable TV and eating a sandwich and has forgotten that he's having sex with someone.
Yeah.
Anyway. Blah, blah. So Carol's not into any of it until Ross says threesome, and she immediately is like, I love that idea.
Yeah.
Chandler finally sold a story to Archie Comics, and it turns out there's going to be an issue of Archie Comics where Archie agrees to be Reggie's butler or assistant, and then Reggie makes him do a bunch of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And Joey like still doesn't get it that it's based on him, but he's happy for Chandler, which is nice. So we're at the perk. Rachel comes by again to talk to Monica because it's clear that Rachel's like into Joey, not just as a fan, but is like turned on by him in many ways. But is still married to Barry. Obviously, we find out that Monica is a virgin, which is like ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rachel's starting to argue that there should be fewer. Like rules about sex and fewer hangups, which she's probably right about, but it's clear she just wants to have sex with Joey. Back at the hospital, Phoebe has snuck into the bathroom to smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
And then she gets a phone call that she's fired, but she doesn't know. Ross takes the phone call.
Yeah.
She doesn't know she's fired. Rachel's at home watching Days of Our Lives, and she decides to call up Joey.
Yeah.
And basically she decides she's going to cheat on Barry. And that's the episode, except for a really dumb tag at the end where Monica is just dancing around and eating.
Yeah.
All right.
And then...
Bad.
Yeah. I mean, this episode was, like, the worst depiction of fat phobia, and it wasn't funny, and they continued... It was just, like, it was supposed to be funny... Like, she hides Kit Kats all over the house and is
Joey
always
goes
eating.
To the counter to get her three gigantic Rice Krispie treats.
And then she dances and gets winded. She's a virgin because, I mean, it's like...
This Joe Mayo guy? Sorry. He's a doctor.
Yeah.
Played by Pat Finn, who played Joe Mayo.
Yeah.
What, they're not...
He's also not like sexual? A snooze. So, but still, like, I hated it.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, some of the jokes in here...
not great.
They're really terrible.
I also noticed in the end credits, it says so and so as Barry, but Barry wasn't in this episode, so I wonder if we'll see him in the next one.
Yeah, because I should say now that this episode and the next one aired on the same night, so
okay, so maybe it was the same credits for this.
Yeah, same credits is probably as a heads up, right now, when we get to the how are we doing portion.
Oh, there's not going to be.
Next week, there'll be nothing.
Yeah.
There will be something this week, but next week it'll be the same. So there's nothing else I could do. Where was I? Any other stray observations, or should we move on to funniest moment? And I don't say moments, I say moment, because I only wrote down one.
Okay. Yeah, I have a few.
Well, I'll just do my one first, which is that at the apartment when Phoebe is having a heart attack, she's still smoking her cigarette. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, and I also like that she has to light up her cigarette before she can answer the phone.
Herself.
At the work.
Yeah.
And she has a funny way of answering the phone. She just says, go. in like the beginning scene where Rachel's like, oh, Barry and Mindy are getting a divorce. And is it Joey or Phoebe who is like sad for a second and then says like, if I hear divorce, I automatically think of Ross, because they thought like Ross was getting another divorce.
Yeah, that's funny.
Also, when Rachel decides that she's going to, go to Joey's house and like cheat on her husband, she said, we don't hear his side of the phone call, but she just says, sure, I'll bring some sandwiches. So yeah, he's a bit of a George Costanza too.
Yeah. Should we move on to friends who make it fashion?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of we already talked about Phoebe's look, which we both liked.
Would this like stock broker banker like be friends with this gang?
Yeah, she would.
Okay. in this alternate reality of like,
well, my guess is that she, if I'm trying to make this logically make sense, she was already Monica's roommate when she got this job offer, and so she became this person.
Okay,
that's my guess. But yeah, I liked her suit and her hair. I'll also mention Rachel's animal prints.
Yeah.
The first time we see her, she's in a full-length cow print coat.
Yeah.
And then when she goes to her set visit, she wears a cheetah print, like blazer.
She also has, a leopard purse with the cow coat.
Yeah.
Like you said, her hair is, poofier than usual. Mm-hmm. And she has lots of bangles and, acrylic nails and gaudy jewelry.
Yeah. What else
you got? Oh, also, in that one scene with Carol, she has, weird crimps in her hair.
Crimps hair, yeah.
Very, very strange.
Yeah. Very dated.
Yeah.
But I feel like even in, 2000, that would have looked weird.
Yeah.
Crimped hair?
Yeah. Yeah, but it was, the thick crimps, where I think it was supposed to look more natural, beachy waves or something, but it, just looked bad.
Too many, hard angles.
Yeah.
I'll beat you to it. Joey wears a green turtleneck that he looks good in. Joey wears a lot of dumb shirts in this episode, too. But at one point, he is wearing a green turtleneck under his leather jacket, and it looks awesome.
Yeah.
I've got one more.
Okay.
When Phoebe comes out of the bathroom in the hospital, she is wearing a pinstriped bathrobe that's very similar to her business suit.
Yeah.
And I thought it looked awesome.
Yeah.
I kind of look, I have a great bathrobe that you got me. It's a Nautica bathrobe. Yeah. It's got boats on it.
Yeah.
But I did kind of covet the pinstripe bathrobe a little bit.
But you used to have a pinstripe one from Brooks Brothers
that I also got you. The reason you got me the Nautica one was because I wore that Brooks Brothers one until it was stained and tattered.
And I was like, we need to get rid of this. I'm sick of looking at it.
Yeah. That Brooks Brothers bathrobe was very comfortable. But yeah, I did.
That was when we used to spend money on each other.
Yeah, we can't do that anymore because we have too many other expenses. Should we move on to what's under the umbrella?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Obviously, the fat phobia.
The fat jokes are just nonstop.
Just
and never funny. Not even funny. Once.
We get a how you doing?
Yeah.
Joey to Rachel.
Yeah. And she it works on her.
And then Rachel also said something about what, when Monica was saying you can't cheat on Barry, and she's like, I wish we could just be on a break and everyone laughs.
Yeah. I didn't care for that either. That self-aware. I don't know. This is not my kind of episode.
Me neither. And it doesn't seem I don't know. Maybe it's like fan service, but mm-hmm. I didn't like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was very much Wayne's World, because they introduced it, and then we get the
Yeah. My favorite version of that joke, I know I told you, but the listeners, I don't know where you can find the short-lived 2-season-long sketch comedy show, The Birthday Boys. But there was one where two characters are like at a diner, and one says like, "Oh, did I tell you I've been getting into playing the harp lately?" And he's like, "Oh no," and he's like, "Anyway, I gotta go." And so the other guy sits there and he goes, "The harp, huh? I wonder what that sounds like." And it's
like that's very funny. I like that.
All right, should we take a quick break?
Yeah.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Mm-mm-mm. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Okay, we're back from our quick break and we're ready to jump in with both feet to How I Met Your Mother, Season 6, Episode 15, Oh Honey. Natalie, take it away.
Okay, so Marshall is still in Minnesota, taking care of his mom and hanging out with family after the funeral.
And regressing.
And regressing, like he's in his like childhood bedroom and he's still...
He answers the phone.
Welcome,
Marshall, Erickson residence, Marshall speaking.
Yeah. Robin thinks it's real cute. Yeah. She calls Marshall to check up on him. Yeah. He's kind of like bored, so he wants to hear all the tea about what's going on in New York.
Yeah.
So that's how this whole episode is kind of framed. It's in these like phone conversations of Marshall and Robin and then Marshall with other members of the group. So we're reminded of was it Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving dinner that Robin cooked?
That was just a dinner.
It was just a dinner.
And there's the Thanksgiving, because we also get the flashback to the Thanksgiving with Zoe.
That's right. Okay, so Robin cooks dinner and ruins it and then serves hot dogs.
Which are also bad.
Which are also bad somehow.
Yeah.
Like, how do you fuck up a hot dog? And she does. And Ted and Zoe have a moment where she hands him the ketchup or vice versa.
Vice versa,
and they spill it, and that becomes like a little like inside joke. And also, that we'll find out is when Ted realizes he is in love with her. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But it starts out with like Zoe saying like, "You owe, I owe you one. Like I could set you up on a date with my hot cousin." Mm-hmm. And Ted's like, "All right, sounds great. I'll take you up on the offer." That's like her ulterior motive a little bit. We'll get to that. We meet the cousin who's played by Katy Perry, and they don't actually know her name, but they call her Honey because everything that she says, the correct response is, "Oh, honey," because she's very gullible.
Yeah.
Like she has like an audition like behind, like in an alley behind a bar, just like she falls for everything because she's hot, but very, very dumb.
Yeah. She thinks that the executive producer of Lost works at KFC on the weekends and that's where she's auditioning.
Yeah. So Ted and Honey are like really hitting it off, or at least that's the story that we're told. Barney has his own version, we'll come to find. And Barney says like Honey was totally vibing on me with body language, so we get an alternate version of Honey.
More on that later.
More on that later. Ted and Robin are talking and Ted says like, "Oh, I didn't go through with it. Like I wasn't feeling it with Honey. I felt like I would be like taking advantage of her just cause she's so dumb."
So dumb. Yeah.
And then Robin says like, "Good for you. I'm happy about all this." Meanwhile, this is all phone conversations with Marshall that his family is eavesdropping on.
Yeah.
So his mom is also listening. And I think it's her that says like Ted is in love with Zoe.
Yeah.
So Marshall's mom says Ted's in love with Zoe and Marshall's like, "Hang up, mom. We need bugles and ice cream." So like very much.
Oh yeah. Cause, Marcus, is that it?
Marcus is the, So, and like, also there's like a comically large bowl of bugles. Yeah. I never liked bugles.
I did as a kid. And then once as an adult, I remember, Paul Goebel had a birthday party or something. Tyler and I were over there, and there was a bowl of bugles. And I tried one, and I was like, Were these always this bad?
It's bizarre. It's like, but it has like the form factor and the crunch that you want, but then the flavor, it's like, what am I missing?
Yeah.
There's something wrong.
But why did I like them as a kid?
You like the crunch, yeah. I guess, but like the flavor is so bad.
All right. I'm going to skirt. This is my, I had a friend whose dad, I had friends who were from Mexico. Their dad, his English was way better than my Spanish, even to this day, yeah. But sometimes certain words would trip him up, and he once referred to bugles as bugless.
Bugless, yeah.
It's like, they better be. What's the other version?
Oh, gosh, yeah. What if there were little bugs in those...
in those horns?
In the little...
Those, yeah.
What if there were little bug cups?
I don't know. What if?
Oh, God.
What do we do then?
Oh, no. Okay, so they have an intervention for Ted. Like, you can't go through with this. Robin says you need to, like, shut down these feelings. And let's see. Okay, Ted, that's when he tells everyone that, like, when the ketchup spilled, that's when he knew. Everyone is like, you can't go through with this. Barney calls Marshall from a burner phone and tells the alternate story of he and Honey hitting it off and going home together. You're saying that like I'm missing some big...
No, I'm sorry. I'm researching something to bring up later.
Okay. He and... Or Barney and Honey are hitting it off. Let's see. Barney runs into Zoe... Oh, yeah. Barney runs into Zoe on the way to work, and she's picketing
the... She's protesting outside the work, yeah.
And he's like, oh, I ended up with Honey. And she's like, what, really? Like, I thought Ted would. And he's like, oh, no, Ted wasn't interested. And she's like, really? And that's when, like, she's like, ooh, sparks are flying. Zoe is so happy and hugs him. Let's see. Okay, so... Marcus screams, Zoe is in love with Ted. On the other line, Marshall said, hang on up, Marcus. He's definitely like reverted back to childhood, calls Ted to talk to him about it. Zoe shows up to Ted's and asks, like, let's have that beer that, you know, you offered me before. And then how did the kitchen end up getting... I mean, she like did a cute little like, I filled up Ted's fridge with... But she would have had to coordinate it with Robin?
With Robin. And also, she would have had to know that Ted hadn't yet looked in the fridge.
And Robin is, like, anti her cheating. So I don't feel like...
But I think it was just, like, a prank. This was nothing about cheating.
But I think it was kind of like a flirtatious...
But Robin didn't know that at the time. She thought this was just a fun prank we're going to play on Ted. Okay. But yeah, that's the only... I believe that that Robin let her in to do that. Mm-hmm. It is weird that Ted went the entire day up to that point without looking in the fridge.
Yeah. So Ted tells Zoe, I can't be friends with you anymore, and you can't ask me why. And she said, okay. Robin... calls Marshall and says, we hate Ted now, get on board, or the sexting stops. And he's like, great, that's fine. And then she immediately sends him like a naked photo. And he's like, nice. why do we hate Ted now is because what actually happens was she did ask him why. And then Ted spontaneously said, Lily hates you.
Yeah.
And then Zoe goes to Lily's house and is like, why do you hate me? And Lily finds out, like, discovers that she's been scapegoated and then, like, wants to be a friend to Ted. So she's like, yeah, I hate you, bitch. And then she says, that's not true. It's actually Robin who hates you.
I felt so bad for Zoe during this episode. Yeah, she's like, she's going, made these friends.
Yes.
And now.
Yes. And that's why we learned that she's going through so much. And this just makes it so much worse. She goes to Robin, and Robin says, no, Marshall hates you. Marshall thinks that that Zoe is calling him, but it's actually Honey who calls him. And Honey found Marshall's number in Barney's burner phone.
Yeah.
It's trying to, like, locate him, or just trying to make sure that Barney has her information because she's sure that he wants to get in touch with her again.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. So, Honey says, like, Zoe's going through so much. It's just between, like, Marshall's like, well, what is she going through? And Honey's like, it's just between me and Zoe and her therapist. And Marshall says, I'm her therapist. And she's like, okay, well, in that case, I'll tell you everything.
I mean, there was no way for you to tell the story without saying that, but that was one of my funniest moments. Oh, okay. Of Marshall going, I am her therapist.
And her being like, okay. And everyone just wants to say, oh, honey. Yeah. Let's see. So Marshall knows and is now like, needs to take it upon himself to tell both Zoe and Ted that they love each other. Meanwhile, during like Honey and Barney's like sexcapades, like he starts like, who's your daddy? And then she's like, who's your daddy? And then he breaks down and cries. Yeah. And he's crying about how he doesn't know.
So we get a little more information here. We find out, because we had seen him last week call his mom and say, you know, he was ready to get in touch with his dad. And what we learn here is that he got his dad's address, sent a letter.
No response yet.
Yeah. But it's probably because he keeps changing phones.
Yeah. But it's interesting that Zoe keeps showing up at people's houses. Like, why do you hate me? Like,
she's got nothing to do all day,
I guess. Before Marshall discovers that they're in love with each other, he's demonstrating like his case to his mom and brother Marcus, like with the characters of Clue, like the Clue cards.
Yeah.
And he does like the yarn. What is that called? Like string.
I don't know, but yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yarn string.
Yeah. Like the It's Always Sunny meme. If you've seen.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. Like piecing things together. Yeah. Okay.
And he refers to the captain as Colonel Mustard.
Yes. I mean,
the
captain. So Zoe and Colonel Mustard are getting divorced.
Yeah.
And that's why she's having like so much like difficulty with everything.
Yeah.
So Marshall first calls Zoe, and because Zoe and Ted are in the hallway, and he tells Zoe and she gets really excited. And then Marshall calls Ted. He gets really excited and they start kissing, and then the neighbor peeps them and then calls Marshall. So Marshall has like, even though he's in St. Cloud, he knows everything going on. Yeah.
He's got the full picture.
He's got the full picture.
Yeah.
And it kind of ends with them kissing in the hallway.
Very sweet. What else? Look, I'm not going to tell people how to eat their hot dogs, but ketchup on hot dogs is not for me.
Some people like the flavor. Look, it's fine.
It's not for me. What did I say? I just said it's not for me.
But no one cares if it's for you or not.
Okay.
Why would people care?
It's just not like empty belt loops. It's not for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Ketchup friends on hot dogs, friends and mothers, what do you put on your hot dog?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
I like mustard, but I also like some sweetness. So, like, if there's no relish, I might put some ketchup on a hot dog along with mustard for the contrast.
No, if I'm at Dodger Stadium, I'm just putting mustard and chopped onions on there.
No.
I also, like, when I'm at, like, in Chicago where you have a large selection of toppings, I do like cubed or sliced tomato. I like tomato on a hot dog, just not the sugary ketchup stuff.
Yeah. I mean, those places where you'd get, like, a hot dog on the street probably don't have vegan or vegetarian dogs, so I'm not doing like the classic street version of that, but I like the tomatoes and I like the celery salt. I like all those.
Yeah, I mean,
accoutrements.
I definitely like my taste in hot dogs got refined in Chicago, but it didn't stop there because I had yet to come to Los Angeles and have the quote unquote street meat, street dogs, which are bacon wrapped hot dogs, usually served with grilled onions and peppers, and then they will offer you ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise. And I never would have thought, obviously I say no to the ketchup, I never would have thought to put mayonnaise on a hot dog, but it's fucking great.
Yeah.
So yeah, I usually get the street meat with the grilled peppers and onions and mustard and mayonnaise. And it's so good. Especially like, there's a reason those places are like, outside of bars or like concert venues or stuff. It's something like when you've been drinking all night and you want something to soak it up at, you know, 12:30 a.m. It's so great.
Like a corn dog be better? Because that's like, I don't know, it's more like carby.
I guess, but have you ever seen a corn dog, like, vendor?
Yeah.
Like, you'd have to, because they'd have to, like, have the...
Yeah, they have the thing there.
The batter.
That's like a classic, like, carnival, it's like a cart.
Oh,
our friend had one at a wedding.
That's remember? Right, they sure did. And I ate, like, 3 corn dogs.
Yeah.
They were so good.
Yeah.
That was a fun
one. Yeah, our friend had, like, a carnival-themed wedding, so they had, like, corn dogs and, like, popcorn and... cotton candy.
Yeah. I want to say they had a dunking booth. I don't think they had a dunking booth.
No, but they did have a, like a palm reader.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They had mystics of various tarot card readers.
What else? It was funny that Honey mentioned being cast on Lost because in the flashback, the sort of like catching me up on the relationship with Zoe, it goes back to when Jorge Garcia was, he's the Blitz.
The Blitz.
Yeah. And it also, it reminded me of something, because I thought in the Blitz Giving episode, I've thought of this and didn't mention it, but I'm glad we saw the clip again. Because when Marsha goes to take a picture of them all with Blitz and Zoe for Thanksgiving, they don't call attention to it, but Barney does the like straightening his tie thing that he does. Remember the episode where Robin Kant is trying to get a bad picture of him, but he's also always straightening his tie in the picture?
Yeah.
He does that when Marsha puts the phone up.
Okay. It's pretty great. I didn't notice that.
And then Marcus gives Marsha a Hertz donut. And Barney says, I can't believe you fell for that, which is exactly my thought. I was like, there's Marshall. What are you thinking?
Yeah.
But maybe it's just a sign of him regressing. He forgot what a Hertz donut is.
Yes.
All right. That's all my stray observations. Let's move on to funniest moments.
Okay. I liked at Ted's intervention how there was a big banner that said intervention.
Yeah. They've got out the intervention banner again. Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Do you want to do one of yours?
Yeah. So... Honey is clearly vibing on Ted, but Barney is like trying to say that she's vibing on him because when she was like touching Ted's arm and leaning into Ted, she pointed her straw at Barney's direction. So then later when we get Barney's version of events, Ted's being boring and Katy Perry like points the straw at him and then goes, straw.
Yeah.
And Barney holds up a coaster and goes, coaster. that and I Am Her Therapist were my only two funny moments. What else do you have?
That was in mine. And then I also mentioned already about Lily saying, yes, I hate you, bitch. Because, like, she doesn't mean it. She likes Zoe. They all like Zoe.
Yeah.
But it's just funny that she added that.
Yeah. It reminded me, because I'm always thinking about Buffy, one of my favorite jokes on Buffy. Do you remember when Spike is outside of Buffy's house and Buffy's like, you got 5 words or five words or less to tell me what you're doing out here. And he goes out for a walk and then notices he has a finger left and goes, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very funny. Just like the eavesdropping family and like him being like reverting back to like being bullied and called a wuss by his brother and, falling for the Hertz donut.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Okay, let's move on to How I Met Your Mother, but make it fashion.
Well, didn't have much to say, but Zoe has a statement necklace of a fishbone.
It's a wishbone.
Wishbone, yes, not a fishbone.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned it, because this wishbone necklace has been worn on the show by Lily and Robin, and Zoe, and Becky, Robin's old co-host.
Oh my gosh.
And then apparently, I was just Googling it, apparently it has shown up on How I Met Your Father as well.
Oh.
So I don't know, I don't know what it means, but this wishbone necklace has been worn by a lot of people on the show.
Yeah.
But I do think it got, it was very much front and center in this episode. Maybe Jennifer Morrison just wore it best in the wore it best competition. Is Jennifer Morrison.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the wishbone necklace.
Well, I know. I mentioned the fishbone necklace. You correctly corrected me.
I have... Do you have any others?
No.
Okay. I have... when Ted comes clean to the gang during his intervention, his self... organized intervention. Lily has like a chambray shirt that's kind of like It's like not buttoned, but tucked in. So it's kind of billows over like a white tank top.
Okay.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah, I didn't care for it.
Thought it looked cool. And then when Barney runs into... I almost never like Barney's style. I've said before.
Yeah.
In fact, in this episode, when he's talking to Marshall on the phone, he looks awful. It's such a showy. He's got tiny little peak lapels, and he's got like a 5-button shirt sleeve or jacket cuff thing. It's terrible. It's so showy and awful looking. But when he runs into Zoe on the street, he's got a almost matching olive scarf and olive striped rep tie that I coveted. I want both of those things because
okay.
I love things that are olive is, well, green is your favorite color, but olive is a color I really, really like.
To be more specific, my favorite color is Scheele's green or Schloss green. Look it up, friends and mothers. Yeah. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You were telling me all about this. It is fascinating
history.
Okay. That's all I have. What's under the umbrella? I didn't think to write anything down.
There were a few. Marshall's mom eavesdropping and screams, "He's gay."
That's why Ted didn't go home with Honey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Barney's like retelling of the story of meeting Honey, Ted is going, blah, 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 architecture, blah, 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 some boring bridge, blah, 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 architectural anecdote, boring snooze. Yeah. Like, it was just funny.
Yeah.
Also Marshall, like being like so focused on like not being impolite. Like he says to Robin, it's called manners, jerk, like very childlike. And then also like it's so impolite not to answer call waiting, so he can't help himself even when he knows like he doesn't want to talk to the person calling.
Yeah, yeah. Or it's like a
number, he doesn't recognize. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to similarities. I've got a few actually.
Oh yeah, I have quite a few. Do you want to start?
Okay. Both Joey and Ted are interested in married women or.
Yes, yes. And there's like a, cheating.
Yeah.
Subplot.
Yeah. There are a lot of phone calls in both episodes between Phoebe being on the phone and Marshall being on the phone. A lot of phone calls in both episodes. Also, this is very specific, but in the one that could have been part one, when flashback Ross meets flashback or sideways universe Ross meets sideways universe Rachel, he's wearing a lilac sweater, like V-neck, mm-hmm. under his jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this episode, Ted wears a lilac V-neck sweater.
Yeah.
And then later in the episode, Ted also wears a lilac like button-up shirt. Very lilac heavy.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I have.
Virginity. Barney telling Honey that he was a virgin and Monica actually being a 30-year-old virgin. Also kissing. So there's kissing between Zoe and Ted and also Dr. Draker Morey.
and what was the character's name? Hope something? Hope.
And that's a real character in Days of Our Lives.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ice cream. Marshall tells his mom that they need more. And of course, Monica is eating ice cream because she's always eating in this episode.
Yeah.
Barney says, like when asked to describe the cousin, Zoe said, "She's cute." And Barney's like, "Cute means fat."
Yeah.
Also the...
I did like, because Barney does it like a cough, like "cute means fat."
Yeah.
And then like, no, she's like, she's something else. He's like, "That means
ugly
or something like that."
Yeah.
And then she walks in and he goes, I take back everything I said.
Yeah.
It's a very attractive person.
Yeah. When Katy Perry walks in to McLaren.
Yeah.
Also, the mention of a TV audition, Honey auditions for Lost.
Yeah.
And Joey goes on mini auditions.
Right.
And then, okay. So I don't know if you caught this, but when they're eating the bad hot dog, I think Lily says, like, "I'm going to go finish this in the bathroom."
I did think of that with the trifle.
Which is exactly what one of them said for the English trifle that Rachel fucked up.
Yeah, I did think of that, actually. Yeah.
And that's it.
Should we play favorites?
3, 2, 1, How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
This Friends episode was pretty unbearable.
Yeah. How do we... What do we think of Zoe? Like... compared to other Ted exes. I like her.
I like her too.
I like Jennifer Morrison.
Yes, I like her too. Yeah, I feel sad that she has to, you know, divorce her husband, but it wasn't. It wasn't.
But we've learned in Natural History he doesn't think much of her.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Zoe a lot.
Yeah, I like that she's principled.
Yeah, but I also liked Stella. Stella obviously had a weak spot for her ex.
Yeah.
We both didn't like Victoria. Mm-mm. Even though when the show originally aired, I liked Victoria a lot. And then rewatching with you, I was like...
She's lame. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Swing and a miss on Victoria.
Yeah.
But yeah, good stuff. Good Jennifer Morrison episode. Mm-hmm. If I, like... Jennifer Morrison's, like, I'm sad and hurt face was, like, heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I would say let's catch up on our correspondence, but we don't have any because the last episode hasn't even...
And we won't have any tomorrow when we record again. For the next episode either.
Yeah. But yeah, please do let us know.
Hot dog toppings.
How do you take your hot dog? Yeah. And also from last week, how do you order your coffee? And what's your go-to coffee chain? Or do you prefer...
Mm-hmm. And food order too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Coffee chain food order is definitely what I want to know about. Let's move on to my favorite segment to introduce.
What's that?
It's called How Were We Doing? This is where we look at what was happening in the world on the days that these episodes aired. So, season 6, episode 15 of Friends, the one that could have been part 1, aired on Thursday, February 17th, 2000. On this day in history, Microsoft announces Windows 2000.
Wow.
I don't know. That's all I had. Top 5 songs in the US on this day. At number 5, Santana Smooth. At number 4, Montel Jordan, Get It On Tonight. At number 3, Christina Aguilera, What a Girl Wants, What a Girl Needs. At number 2, Savage Garden, I Knew I Loved You Before I Met You. And then climbing up to number 1, Mariah Carey, Thank God I Found You.
Okay.
Season 6, episode 15 of How I Met Your Mother, which again is called Oh Honey, aired on Monday, February 7th, 2011. I do this so, like, early in the day, and then I forget, like, what I was going to say that was of interest. Let's see. Oh, okay. And you won't care about this. Well, maybe you like basketball a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The Cleveland Cavaliers set the record for most consecutive losses in an NBA season with 25 losses. That record has since been, I looked all those up this morning and now I can't remember which teams. It was broken by the 76ers, who went on to 28. And then just this current season, someone tied it. Someone else went 28 games that win, but I can't remember who it is. And I don't follow the NBA, so I don't know who's really bad this season.
Mm-hmm.
Someone must be really bad. And so that's something that happened on that day. Top 5 songs in the United States of America. At number 5, Enrique Iglesias, Tonight I'm Loving You. Do you know that one?
No.
Well, I know this one. At number 4, Wiz Khalifa, Black and Yellow, Black and Yellow, Black mm-hmm. and Yellow. Yeah, Pittsburgh's the only city smart enough to have all of its, like, main major league sports teams have the same colors.
Yeah.
Why don't more cities do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the Pirates, the Penguins, and the Steelers are all black and yellow.
Makes sense.
At number 3, Katy Perry, Baby, You're a Firework.
Oh, honey.
At number 2, Pink, Fucking Perfect. And at number 1, Bruno Mars, Grenade. Moving on to, I guess, our final segment is called Challenge Accepted. This is where we try to predict what's going to happen next week on both episodes with only the episode titles to guide us. But let's see how we did last week. I I'm so stupid. I say we slide doors to see what things would be like if Ross actually said Emily's name in the condemned cathedral. Why didn't I think to go back to the beginning?
Yeah.
And say, like, how would, like, what could have been...
But I guess you were thinking how the last episode ended of, like, him keeping the door open for Rachel. So you were focused on Ross's relationship.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I should have known to go over there. You said Oh Honey was about a poor lass falling under Barney's spell and Robin and Lily trying to talk some sense into her.
I mean, she did kind of fall for under Barney's spell.
Yeah,
but it was
the Oh Honey you thought specifically was about Robin and Lily. They don't care about Honey.
They don't, sadly.
Nobody cares about Honey.
No one cares.
All right, well, I'm going to look up the next episodes, but I'm going to need you to vamp.
Pretzel bread pudding. Shrimp pouches of many colors. Blue cheese stuffed olives. Cinnamon bun, pancake, and waffle mix.
Okay, so... couple things. I forgot to say something that I looked up about Katy Perry, because I didn't think she was very good in the episode.
Hmm.
In the same way that I didn't think Britney Spears was very good when she was on How I Met Your Mother. They're just not really actors. So I looked it up, and Katy Perry has acted in a number of things, but only this, an episode of Raising Hope, and the two Smurf movies where she voiced Smurfette, are the only time she acted as someone other than herself. She's appeared as versions of herself in like Zoolander 2 and Popstar and stuff like that.
Okay.
But she doesn't act a lot as like
another
some
character.
Other, yeah.
Yep.
I'm not going to hold it against her. Like she's clearly very famous and successful. All right. So for me, I don't know what to do because it's, the next episode, season 6, episode 16, is the one that could have been part 2.
Yeah.
So I have to find a way to make a prediction that isn't cheating, you know?
Yes.
So let's say... who? Where did we... Okay, I'm going to say... I'm going to say that the second half of the one that could have been is about things ultimately returning to, so like,
okay.
Like Rachel will leave Barry, Phoebe will quit her job. Maybe Chandler and Monica get together. Maybe. Oh yeah. That's what I'm going to say. That's my prediction. Okay. Is that, even in the Flash Sideways universe, Monica and Chandler's love cannot be denied. Because I feel like, I don't know if it's just like muscle memory because they've been playing a couple for so long, but I feel like in this episode there was still like affection between them. Like in Phoebe's, when Chandler like puts his foot in his mouth in Phoebe's hotel room and Monica's like, let's get you, and she's like being kind of touchy-feely with him a little bit. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to say that they get together even in this other universe.
I'm going to say you're quite perceptive.
Okay. Season 6, episode 16 of How I Met Your Mother is called Desperation Day.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, you got a little bit
of information. I already have a little bit of a spoiler.
And we know... Well, this week's episode aired on February 7th.
Yes.
We know
so
next...
So,
yeah,
this is 14th. The day before Valentine's Day. And that's Desperation Day because everyone... It's, you know, like cuffing season. Like, everyone needs to find a date for Valentine's Day. So, I think this is going to be more about the singles on the show. Because I think... So, Marshall and Lily already... have their dates, and I think Ted and Zoe already have theirs, so I think it'll be like a Robin Barney heavy episode.
Okay. So wait, what exactly are they? They're trying to find someone.
Yes.
Okay. Robin and Barney
are racing against from the clock. The
singles table, yeah. Right?
Yes.
Are racing against the clock to find a
sweetheart
paramour.
Yeah.
For
V-Day.
Okay. All right. That's it. We did it. You can find the podcast wherever you found it. You already proved that you know how to do that, so congratulations. But you can also find a post for every episode at battleshippretension.com. You can leave a comment there. We'll read it. You can email us at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. That is very helpful. And you can we'll read those. You can find me on Twitter at Davey Pretension or on Blue Sky at Davey Pretension. And you can reach out that way, too. So those are all the ways you can find me. Natalie, where do you want people to find you?
I don't, as you know, but if you like this episode, you should rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your mothers. Open up your app of choice and give us a 5-star rating. It helps people find us, we're told. And if you don't want to give us 5 stars, tell us why, because we like criticism. And we like all of your correspondence.
Yeah, we do like correspondence.
Yeah.
All right.
Until next time, we'll be on the trading room floor.